Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. I ended up taking an improvised hiatus from podcasting since the last episode, but now I'm back and I'm looking at some new and exciting possibilities for reality guidance going forward. I'll talk about those as I get the details locked down, but I'm hoping to take what I've learned in the past year and a half and give everything a kind of relaunch pretty soon. But this week I want to talk about something that I'm sure is going to ruffle some feathers. As you can tell from the targeted title of the episode, I admit to being intentionally provocative, but what I'm really talking about today is the flaw of emotional perception and interpretation. So, the disclaimers beforehand. Everyone can and does do this to some degree. But from all I've read and all I've witnessed, women tend to be, and I emphasize tend to be, not must be. They tend to be wired this way by nature. Now, I'm sure there are very good and beneficial evolutionary reasons for this, but while evolution might explain a behavior or a tendency, that doesn't mean it's necessarily a good path to follow in modern life. After all, it's also natural for men to want to impregnate every woman they see. It doesn't make it rational to follow that instinct. Okay, with all that out of the way, let's get to the substance of the problem. Emotional perception and interpretation is the term I use when someone, to varying degrees, processes events or people or interactions emotionally rather than rationally. This can affect how they react, how they view themselves, and even completely alter how they think events unfolded. How often have you been arguing about something with someone, banging your head against the proverbial wall, not understanding why the other person isn't agreeing with some basic bit of reason or logic? Have you ever tried starting from scratch and going back through the interaction you were arguing about? Have you ever been shocked to realize that the series of events you so clearly see and understand are completely different from what the other person relates back to you? One of the most common and obvious examples in relationships is the use of the word yelling. Often when a woman feels like someone, especially a man, is attacking her, either through criticism or even a disapproving look, she will think or say the phrase, "Stop yelling at me," or "You yelled at me." Now, sometimes he is actually yelling, as in raising his voice. But when he isn't, and when she perceives that he did, that is emotional interpretation. In her mind, regardless of what actually went down, her memory recorded that he yelled at her. In recalling the events, she may even think that she remembers raised voices where there were none. Why? Because how it made her feel became more important than what actually happened. And this can become an exceedingly dangerous way to process things. Why dangerous? Well, because before any two people can come to an understanding on anything, the prerequisite is that they meet on the fields of reason. Reason is the only way people can share and exchange ideas and thoughts. Emotions are non-shareable, non-transferable, and often don't even line up with reality. In other words, our emotions are useless for communication and interaction. Not only that, but even if you never intend on sharing your emotional interpretation, you'll still act on it, which if you've been listening to previous episodes, you should gather by now is also a very bad idea. All of this can also have a disastrous effect on your self-esteem. Say you're someone who, because of insecurities and doubts about yourself, emotionally interprets that when you do something well, you just lucked out. And when you mess something up, well, that's par for the course, and of course you're going to mess up because that's what you always do and always will do. How on earth are you ever going to feel confident about anything if you can't even perceive reality correctly? If everything is passing through this low self-esteem filter, it doesn't even matter if you do the right, strong, brave, competent thing over and over, you'll never see it. You'll never acknowledge it. And in fact, this is actually what happens with young girls. I've read a few studies now that show how differently boys and girls handle failure. Boys view failure as a temporary obstacle. They know that if they work harder or smarter, it'll become possible to improve. Girls, on the other hand, tend to view failure as a confirmation of their identity. Boys say, "I'll study harder next time." Girls say, "I'm stupid." Now why? Because boys tend not to filter everything through emotional lenses as a matter of reflex, while girls often do. Now, as I said at the top, everyone can be guilty of this from time to time, regardless of sex. But the reason I bring sex into this is because of our culture. Men usually act as a check against this for other men. Even if a man wanted to talk about how something made him feel, he would be teased, in a good-natured way, by the other men around him, or at least given puzzled looks. And it's not that men think feelings make you weak or that they pretend not to have them. That's a silly myth. It's that they view them as irrelevant to the discussion. What men really think in those situations is something like, yes, we all have feelings. We can, of course, relate to how you're feeling. But that doesn't really matter right now. All that matters right now is viewing this problem objectively and figuring it out. When a coach pulls a boy aside, grabs him by the headgear, and actually yells, for real, son, you're doing terrible out there. Here's how you're going to do better. The boy doesn't fixate on how that makes him feel. He focuses on how to do better. Many girls in the same situation would break down in tears because since they're interpreting the interaction emotionally, all they can focus on is how it feels to be yelled at for not doing well, which, unfortunately, to them feels like not being good enough. Women in our culture just don't have that same check. They certainly don't have it among other women, who often use their emotions as weapons against each other. There's this common feeling among women that there needs to be harmony among everyone at all costs. And to that end, everyone feels an implicit responsibility for everyone else's emotions. This results in all kinds of unhealthy power struggles where the most aggrieved woman has the most power over her peers and other such disturbing situations. And women aren't usually checked by men either. How often have you heard the sentiment that men should always apologize when a woman is upset, even if he didn't do anything wrong? The implication there is that reality doesn't matter, only her emotions do. And most men just go along with this. They are taught that she can't help but to emotionally interpret everything, so it's best to simply accept it and compensate for it. If she gets upset when you use a word she doesn't like, you stop using that word. Not because there's anything wrong with a word, but merely because she has an emotional reaction to it. In essence, men are taught to coddle women as they would a child or a mentally handicapped person. In all of this, the cultural message is clear. It's perfectly acceptable for women to incorrectly perceive and interpret reality. That's just how women are, and we all just need to deal with it. I say no. Women can be, and sometimes naturally are, better than that. Why set the bar so low? Why not tell women that they have the same responsibility to be rational as men? Of course emotions matter, but not in a way that attempts to alter reality or demands other people alter their behavior. Unless it's in an effort to help her rewire her emotional reactions, which is basically what I do with my clients. When it comes to this phenomenon, there is absolutely a right and a wrong way of handling this. One need not turn their emotions off or deny their emotions or anything like that. It's all a matter of understanding the proper role of emotions and the proper time of when to focus on them. When taking in data, be it an interaction, an event, a person's character, whatever, keep your emotions out of it while you process the facts. And that's key here. Facts should be all that matter at first. Facts are how you determine reality, they determine truth, they determine cause and effect. You cannot and should not progress to analyzing your emotions before you have the facts firmly understood as objectively as you can. After that is when emotions come into play. But you still shouldn't be using them to interpret anything besides yourself. Analyzing your emotions, introspecting, is how you learn about yourself. It's not how you learn about the world. So if something happens, first you absorb it objectively into facts, and then you ask yourself, how do I feel about it? It's important that it goes exactly in that order. If you're feeling before or during the perception or factual interpretation phase, you're doing it wrong. And keep in mind, all this happens in split seconds. It may sound like a slow, methodical process when I talk about it here, but the idea is to take these knee-jerk reflexes and reorder them. They'll still happen in quick succession, but you want them to happen in the right order. If you recognize yourself described in any of this, whether you're male or female, and you want to learn to interpret reality on reality's terms, shoot me a message on my website, Facebook, Twitter, wherever. And for those who think I've been unfair to women in this episode, please take note. For the past month, every woman who asked me what my next episode will be about, I told them, and immediately their reaction was, "Are you making it based on me?" Anecdotal, sure, but I was blown away at how ubiquitously women are aware of how they think, and how the ones I spoke to immediately understood that it's a bad thing, in need of a podcast episode. Take that how you will. But in the spirit of being thorough, if you've got a suggestion for an episode I can do that's aimed primarily at men, please let me know. I'd like to balance the scales, but I think I might be a little too biased to immediately see any problem patterns of my own. Okay, so until next time, thanks for listening.